You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gordon Brown, Sam Turner and Seb Sanders in the studio. It's Southall and Yarmouth on Tuesday afternoon, Newbury and Chelmsford City in the evening. On the domestic front, there's also racing over in Ireland on Tuesday night as well from Ballinrobe. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Rory DeLaghi. How are you, Rory?
I am very well, thanks, Mark.
Good man. Pretty good week at York to look back at. Several of the questions from the Monday jury focus around that and future targets for some of the big winners. Did you enjoy York last week, Rory?
Yeah, it's always enjoyable, particularly watching Mecca's Angel win the Nonthorpe. She's one of my all-time favourites now, and she showed exactly why with an absolutely blistering performance in the 5 furlong Group 1.
Yeah, one of the questions I was going to ask you was about Mecca's Angel winning. I know from being on air with you and podcasting in the past that you're quite a fan of her, aren't you? So a dual Nonthorpe winner now, that puts her right up there, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, she's been pigeonholed incorrectly as a mud lover. And yet, you know, people don't look at the stats. Her win last year over the unbeatable Acapulco, which is brushed under the carpet by loads of people. That was one of the great sprint performances of the last 20 years. And for whatever reason, people just refused to believe it. The favourite ran her race there. She was fantastic over 4 furlongs. And yet Mecca's Angel got to her in the shadow of the post, seemingly in the shadow of the post, actually won by 2 lengths in the end, didn't she?
Yeah.
That was a tremendous performance. And yet she's been slagged off and she's been called inconsistent by people, which is just a nonsense. She was in season when she ran her only ever bad race at Royal Ascot. And plenty of horses don't get the running at Ascot anyway, but she had a perfectly valid excuse for that. Otherwise, she's been running really well since her 3-year-old days, and she finally gets into the greats, really, with that performance.
Yeah. The Nunthorpe isn't mentioned in the Monday jury, that's why we gave that a quick mention now. Let's get stuck into the Monday jury. First question is about postponed, the Judmont International winner. Is the ARC postponed for the taking now on the back of that?
It's a strange question, really, because it's not like he's an even money favourite for the ARC.
It
almost sounds like it's a, you know, it's him or nothing type question. But he's, you know, he's been very impressive for quite a while, and he's had his doubters in that some of the Group Ones he had been winning could be knocked, but yet he keeps coming back for more. He was over a trip that was short of his best in the international and still won it in very good style. So he deserves to head the market for the ARC, but it's always a very open race. It's a difficult race for older horses to win as well. History shows that you know, if you can get a 3-year-old absolutely flying at the time of the ARC, then they tend to be favoured by the conditions. So we never know what's going to come through. La Cressonnière is an obvious one in that regard. We tend to ignore the foreign challenge for the ARC every year as well. Makahiki is a horse that I've had my eye on for a while. Best 3-year-old in Japan, being aimed at the race. Form, as you'd expect for a Japanese raider, only on very fast ground, and you don't know what ground you're going to get. We tend to assume you're going to get soft ground at Longchamp, as we say. Yeah, but it's not going to be Longchamp, is it? In October. But to be honest, the ground is just as likely to be quick as it is to be soft, and you shouldn't gamble on that at this stage. But he'd be an interesting one, and one who hasn't had a lot of talk for this, but I think is a really interesting one for the ARC if he's aimed at it, is Order of St George.
Yeah.
Who's obviously been doing his winning over much further, but he's reminiscent of Ardross in that he stays 2.5 miles very well, but he still retains a very, very sharp turn of foot for a stayer, and he wouldn't be out of it in the ARC if that's the route they wanted to go down with him.
Yeah, interesting there. Makahiki is 12-1 in the betting, by the way. I suppose it's only a matter of time before we see a Japanese winner as a target.
There's bound to be a Japanese ARC winner. They've gone so close over the years. And they've had their share of bad luck in it as well, and bad rides, that it's only a matter of time before they their dominance increases. Mm. And you know, whatever they deem is worth sending over has to be taken seriously, and yet we still don't take them that seriously.
Yeah, 12 to 1 Makahiki. Odder St George, if he goes to the races, 14 to 1 and postponed 7 to 2 at the top of the market with us at the moment. Second question, who would be your pick, sorry, for the St Ledger after the events of last week? Obviously, Idaho.
Idaho won the Voltigeur. I did an Antipost write up with that for the field, and I said Idaho, obviously the one to beat, but he might not be hard fit for that race given that they'll be looking at the Ledger. And I put forward Mundaha of John Gosden's. Now, Mundaha swerved the Voltigeur run in a handicap at the weekend, but won that well off a mark of 108. And I would say that's a pretty similar performance on the book as the one put up by Idaho. I mean, marginally behind, but you know, he had to beat older horses and streetwise older horses in a handicap, making all the running at Chester, which isn't quite as easy to do over middle distances as it's given credit for.
Yeah.
He would have been a big player in that race, I think. And John Gosden has shown that he is the trainer who is best able to prepare a horse for the St Ledger, to see a horse from a long way out who's going to be a St Ledger type, rather than using that as kind of an add-on to something else. So I think Munta has a very interesting runner in that. I'm not sure what price he is, Andy Poles, but
10 to 1.
I think he's a tremendous each-way bet. Will definitely stay. He's definitely been aimed at the race and has been aimed at the race by a master.
Mm. 10 to 1 Muntaha. Idaho, I think we went 9 to 4 on the back of the race at York. Now 6 to 4 at the top of the market, so proving popular already, Idaho. Do any of the 2-year-olds who ran last week strike you as future classic winners?
No, in short. Lots of various impressive performances, Blue Point, I suppose, being the main one, and lots of interesting horses for the future. But it's kind of a just below the top level week. York week and the racing we have at the Curragh at the weekend as well, sort of group twos and group threes. Mm. And those horses don't tend to go on to absolutely dominate. They often become very good horses. Some of them are capable of stepping up to group one company, but it's easy to get carried away with impressive performances just below the top level. And I think while Godolphin don't have a great record at getting their very best 2-year-olds to train on, which is the worry with Blue Point, and there have been some nice performances there, but I think there's another question coming up later that sort of that deals with those.
Yeah, yeah, we'll move on to that in a moment or two. Just a quick note on that. Going into York, if we were going to see a classic winner out of the meeting, I thought it probably would be Fair Eva. She was obviously very well backed on the day and just didn't pan out right for her.
No, I don't know what the excuse was. In fairness, she wasn't far below form. That's the thing. It's not like you can say, oh, you can write that clearly wasn't her running. As one or two people have said, she was probably 2 or 3 pounds below the form that she showed when winning the Princess Margaret. I think we just expected an explosive performance from her. And what we didn't get the turn of foot. She moved into contention well enough, and she's shown a tremendous turn of foot in her first two races, but didn't do so there. She could easily be the one, you know, when you're looking at horse who might end up winning a classic, it might be one who ended up getting beaten for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And again, York's one of those tracks that some horses don't seem to show their best format for whatever reason, so she could easily be the one to buck the trend.
Mm. After a 1-2-3 for apprentice riders in the Ebor, give us a claimer who is catching your eye.
Hey, my least favourite question, generally speaking. I think it's unseemly how keen we are to pick up on £7 claimers, particularly, you know, sort of digging in there for someone who's had 6 rides and 2 winners, and suddenly this is the next champion, and we fall over ourselves to discover the up-and-coming apprentice as quickly as possible, whereas £3 claimers who've been riding really well for 3 or 4 years suddenly get forgotten about. It's interesting that among the answers thrown in there in the jury is Rob Hornby, who I would put forward. He is a £3 claimer. He's been around for 3 or 4 years. He's just the kind of guy who needs someone to latch onto him now, so that he keeps getting the opportunities. The one thing I will say about Rob Horn, because he started off with Andrew Balding, the Balding family have been exceptionally good at keeping apprentices on the straight and narrow over the years, not you know, giving them opportunities on horses who won't be winning to hone their skills, and then allowing them to achieve that kind of longevity. I think that's very important. Adam McNamara has made a big... obviously, he'd be the headline apprentice of the weekend, really. He's made a big impression in a short space of time, but that's the most dangerous... place to be in as an apprentice, you know, starting off as an unknown £7 claimer in January, and suddenly being, you know, on the tip of everyone's tongue in August, and then your claim goes down to £5, maybe you pick up a minor injury, and suddenly people are looking for the next £7 claimer coming through. And Adam McNamara, if he's not careful, this is not to knock him at all, many jockeys that came have come along and blazed the trail, and then unless you can keep the momentum going, you can get forgotten very quickly. So I'm not really answering that question, but it's because I think it's a really nasty question, and it hides an unfortunate aspect of the industry.
Did Persuasive look a Group 1 filly when she was winning at Sunderland?
Yeah, she clearly was competing at a level or two below that. Blonde Me, who came second, is a solid enough winner in that grade for all. She came out into the race out of form. She clearly came back to her best. She goes very well at Sandown. The third had been running in handicaps off marks as low as 60, although she's improved an awful lot. And it's a fair way removed from Group 1 form. But in saying that, she's won all her races. She's won a listed handicap at Royal Ascot that's always very strong.
Yep.
She stepped up to Group 3 company and won with her head in her chest. She's unbeaten in 5 starts. She's put up a performance that puts her on the cusp of Group 1 glory. She wouldn't want to be running into Minding, I guess. She's got 2 Group 1 entries, one of them in the Matron Stakes, where the Minding would probably be running. That might be a little bit too tough for her. Suncharit's the other option, and you can see why Connections would want to go for that. And she deserves her place there. But she might just be overbet. We don't really know how they're going to price that up, but horses with her profile, we tend to sort of gush about potential rather than proven form.
Yeah. Give us one or two others from York to follow then, just to finish off with.
I'll give you 2 from the same race. The Convivial Maiden is one of the most informative maidens of the season, and the first and third in that look horses to follow.
Yeah.
Rivet won it and was well back to do so for William Haggis. Ran around a little bit, but was very strong in the finish. And the initial favourite for that was a horse called Via Serendipity of Hugo Palmer's,
yep.
who, again, showed signs of greenness early on, came through to lead, possibly on the wrong side of the track, and then was outdone by a Rivet in the closing stages, but still shaped very well.
That's the Monday jury then for another week. Anything else on your mind, Rory, before we move on to Tuesday?
Nothing whatsoever, including Tuesday, to be perfectly honest with you.
Great. Well, let's move on to Tuesday's action then. Rory's prepared 4 races for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll do 2 races in the afternoon and 2 in the evening for Tuesday. A couple of jumpers at Southall and racing on the flat at Newbury. We start in the 3:45 at Southwell. Class 4 handicap hurdle here over just short of 2 miles. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 7 to go to post here, Rory. And a couple of last time out winners, In on the Act and Sailor's Worn, will attract a bit of attention given that they both won previously. Either of those two on the shortlist?
Yeah, and they've actually met each other as well. When In on the Act won at Worcester last month, he beat Sailor's Worn by a neck. And he's actually better off at the weights. Because although he's gone up in the handicap for that, he's £4 higher. For that narrow win. Sailor's Worn went on to win next time out at Stratford, and he's gone up a further £4 for that. So he's £7 higher, and the horse who beat him is only £4 higher. So strictly speaking, In on the Act should confirm the form. But I'm going to go against that logic and stick with Sailor's Worn, mainly because he was a much better horse at one stage. Eddie O'Grady trained him as a youngster. Very, very highly tried. He ran at the Cheltenham Festival, I'm sure. Ran the colours of Patrick Wilmot. And he rather lost his way, including moving here to Ron Thompson. But Mark Lucknan picked him up, and he suddenly came back to form. He was second on his debut for the yard to In on the Act, and he's then stepped up a little bit in that to win next time out. Strictly speaking, he'd need to step up again, but given that he was running in handicaps off marks in the 130s, maybe as high as 140 at his peak.
143.
143 is his highest mark. He still retains a bit of scope. He's a 9-year-old. It's not like he's... he's completely on the downgrade. He's just lost his way a little bit, as a lot of horses do when they struggle to be competitive. But now he's found his level again. I think he might find the improvement needed to confirm the form, or reverse the form, rather, within In the Act.
Yeah, in fact, just looking further through, ran off 1:44 in the Galway hurdle, placed in the county hurdle, and ran in the 6 in the Triumph as well. So
yeah,
pretty highly tried, as you mentioned. So that's Rory's thoughts then in the 3:45 at Southwell. We'll stay there for the 4:15. This is a Class 4 handicap hurdle over just short of 3 miles, a field of 7. We'll go to post for this one. You got Simba the Sailor at the top of the weights there, Rory, arrives here in winning form, and Shazar down at the bottom arrives with a penalty to defy for winning last time, so top end and bottom end of the handicap.
Yeah, I couldn't fancy Shazar. I know if you watch the tail end of that race that he won at the last meeting, he looks quite impressive, but they went pretty hard in that race. The leaders failed to last home. The runner-up, Whiffy Chatsby, finds nothing off the bridle. He was, well, he didn't find an awful lot of a bridle there. He'd been a horse who'd been very frustrating. He'd been finding in recent races and just going down narrowly. He was ridden in contrasting fashion by trainer's son that day. Kicked off the home turn, looked like he had the race won and didn't get home. And Shazar, who'd sort of crept into it quietly, got back on the bridle and beat Whiffy Chaspy by 4.5 lengths in the end. It looked impressive, but I just think that was a product of how the race was run. And horses who tried to stick with the runner-up in the early stages were spent before the home straight. And Shazar, who'd just been ridden almost like a non-trier by Adam Nicol, picking his way through the field and not being asked an effort, I think he was grossly flattered by the manner of that win, and he struggled to follow up under a penalty. Of the others, you can give a chance to most. I'm just going to side with Irena, who is going the right way on the whole. She was a good second at Utoxeter in June, and she then went one better in a strongly run race at that track next time out. You'd hope that she'd be as effective here. It's never a given that horses who go well at Utoxeter will go well at Southall, but she's pretty straightforward. She's a thorough stayer, so she'd want this run at a good pace, which she got last time out. She's £7 higher, and she will need to improve. But a few horses, I think four of those who were behind her last time out, have come out and won since, which makes you think that the form is sound. The slight negative with that stat is that I think three of them won over fences, and none of those who come out and won since were particularly competitive in the race. And that can be a little bit misleading at times. But on the whole, she's going the right way. She's trained by an underrated trainer in Stuart Edmonds, and she's lower mileage than most of these as well. So she looks the safest option.
Irena, then, the selection for Rory in the 4.15 at Southwell. Heading to Newbury next for the 6.20. This one is a Class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs. This one's for the 3-year-olds. And quite a good field here, Rory. Several of these arrive here in pretty good nick.
Yes. Not many proven at the trip, which is an interesting one. Those who come here in good form. Ali Zoom ran really well to be second to Gold Hunter at Chepstow last time out. Slight concern with that was A, it came at 6 furlongs, and Ali Zoom has been tried only at 5 and 6 so far. And B, the winner, Gold Hunter, he was well back that day. He's a very rare winner. And it may be that the form is just a little bit messy, but it was a good run on paper from Ali Zoom. And if he stays a longer trip, he's got chances. In fairness, he's got very much a sprinting pedigree, and I don't think he's at all certain to stay the 7 furlongs, and I'm going to pass him over. Killer Instinct's been in good form, but I think the handicapper knows where he stands with her now. 83 seems too high for her on balance of form. Rhiann Ingram's been put up by Charlie McBride to take off £7, but she's not the best £7 claimer going, although she's better than she was, but she still would be a little bit more of a liability than a positive on a horse, in my view. Hitman can be given chances, comes here with on the back of a bad run, but is a course and distance winner in similar conditions. I would imagine the ground's going to ride fast at Newbury. The advance going's good, but having a look at the weather forecast for the south, it seems set fair. So I think we'll be racing on quick ground, and that will suit Hitman. I don't know why he ran badly at Newmarket over a mile, but if you ignore that run, then he's got every chance. He was ridden by the same jockey, Sam Hitchcock, when winning here in July, and he's only £3 higher. So he would be high on my short list. Wrapped is interesting in terms of profile. This is her handicap debut, despite the fact she's had a mark for a while. She's been placed in the frame of most of her races. She got off the mark in a red car maiden last time out. And William Haggis has a very good record with handicappers first time and with horses and cheek pieces for the first time. So she ticks a lot of boxes there. And, of course, the yard had one or two high-profile winners in the last week or so. I thought she made very hard work of winning, though, at Redcar, which might be why the cheek pieces are going on. It was a very ordinary maiden, and she scraped home. And I'm inclined to be against her off a mark of 77. So while you can give chances to one or two others, Horad drops in class. He was up against Class 3 horses, decent Class 3 horses, like Sir Roderick at Sandown last time out, and struggled a little bit there. He'll do better down in grade and shouldn't be underestimated. But I think Hitman will be where I'll go, given that he's a course and distance winner in similar conditions and clearly didn't run his race last time.
Yeah, could you put it down to the fact it was over a mile last time? He's obviously run over 6 and 7.
No, I don't think it was trip-related, but sometimes when a horse moves up in trip, they're often ridden differently, and the combination of a change in trip and a change in tactics can see them, discombobulated and running poorly.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's no issue with him, and if he comes back to the form he showed, it's not tremendous form, that defeat of Good Luck Charm, but he's only 2 or 3 pounds higher, and it maybe isn't as strong a handicap as it looks at first glance.
Okay, Hitman, a selection for Rory then in the 6.20, and we finish off in the 6.50 at Newbury. This one is a class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, a field of 15 here, Rory, so it's going to be quite an open contest. Who would you side with in there?
There are plenty, again, you can give chances to. Gail Song may be the one with the nicest profile. Well-bred Lordship stud owned filly by Invincible Spirit, who won a maiden at Yarmouth last time out. She'd been sort of treading water for a little bit before that, but she was quite impressive in beating Sound Strings, making all the running there. That was on firm ground, and if the ground came up very quick at Newbury, which is a similar track in terms of its profile, then I'd expect her to come forward from that, you know, as a lightly raced 3-year-old who's not had many chances in handicap. She was fourth on her handicap debut at Pontefract, which is a difficult track. Previous to that, she'd been running well. And I think she's got the right kind of profile for this. But I will throw in one at a big price. Pool Bell is going to be favourite, by the way. But she won on soft ground at Salisbury last time out. And she does need to show that she'll be as effective on a quicker surface. She was impressive enough there, but... that was on different ground, or what I expect to be different ground. We never know what the weather's going to do. And she might end up being a bit short now that Henry Candy's back in form, and she will tick a lot of boxes, and she's almost certain to go off a fairly short-priced favourite. But at what I expect to be a big price, Panther Patrol could be interesting. Trained by Eve Johnson-Horton, who's having a good time. Now, if you saw Panther Patrol's last run, you'd be writing your RIPs, quite frankly. He had a badly burst blood vessel, essentially an internal rupture, and he collapsed mid-race at Newbury. At Haydock. And if you saw it, you would not have imagined him ever getting up again. But here he is, back on the race course. And I don't think Eve Johnson-Horton would stick him back on the track if he hadn't shown that he was over those exertions. I saw Horse of Mark Johnson's do a similar thing, except even more spectacularly, at Thirsk about maybe 15 or 20 years ago. And he went on to show better form afterwards. Of course, he was leading in a 6-furlong sprint and turned a somersault after hemorrhaging internally, which is just the most appalling thing you can see, and yet survived and came back and won races. Panther Patrol has gone very well fresh in the past. Once quick ground, is a course and distance winner, has been given a chance by the handicapper. He's 4 pounds lower than when running at Haydock, and he was running really well until something clearly went wrong and he was eased off and then collapsed. And I don't think he'll be coming to the races half fit. So Eve's having a really good time of things. The fact that he's been off the track since last May, and a look at his last run, will put everyone off. And I think he ends up being a massive prize. But if he's allowed to go off at 25-1 or bigger, I think he's worth throwing a couple of pennies at. So I'll put him in as my each-way selection there. Well, he's more of a high-risk win selection than an each-way selection, but hopefully he'll be a big prize.
Yeah, it'd be a nice story if you came back and won as well.
Certainly would.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rory, let's just have a little bit of a summary then before you go. Just spin us through your final selections then for Tuesday.
At Sutherland, the 3.45, Sailor's Worn. In the 4.15, Irena is my selection. And then at Newbury in the evening, Hitman in the 6.20 and Panther Patrol in the 6.50.
Superb. Good work, Rory. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you very much indeed.
There you go, the thoughts of Rory DeLaghi on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Gordon Brown, Sam Turner and Seb Sanders will be the team in the studio at Sutherland Yarmouth on Tuesday afternoon, Newbury and Chelmsford in the evening, and evening racing over in Ireland as well from Ballinrobe. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.